can't work for them. It means that you don't do the things they do. You don't fellowship with them like you do with God or with other believers. You don't adopt their ways. You know, Abraham had a covenant with unbelievers, with Mamre, and another. And so it was a covenant of defense. That's all. But it never forced Abraham to adopt their ways, to change his lifestyle to conform with theirs. Never. I think it was Mamre and Eshcol, those two men. But Abraham drew on them when he went after Lot, who had been captured by the king of Mesopotamia. And so the three were confederate. Abraham didn't break his vows, didn't anger God. So we can work for unbelievers. We can get paid by them. Don't fellowship with their ways. With their ways and their talk. Verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, folks, angels don't know anything about fatherhood or sonship or daughtership. They don't know. They don't understand it. They know somehow it's a closer relationship than they have with God. It's closer. They are servants of God, but we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Right? We're servants also, by the way. And we're humble. We don't raise up ourselves. We serve other people as well. Hallelujah. But this explains God's heart. This is why he created man. He wanted that intimate fellowship. He wanted to be able to call on you at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and wake you up. And don't worry about, don't ever say, "Lord, I need my sleep." That offends him. Because he's able to give you rest for every cell in your body, even if you're up all night. Supernatural strength and rest. Be eager to hear from him. Say, "Lord, what have you got for me? I'm excited. I'm excited to learn." Now, let's spend just a few moments here. We're going to go back a little here and talk about the Old Testament. Now, the whole Old Testament pointed toward Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. Pointed toward him in every book. It showed pointing toward him. And Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple were temporary dwelling places for God, prefiguring Jesus Christ, who would dwell in us. We are the temple, the final temple. We are what God really wanted. Over in Exodus chapter 40, if you'll turn over there a minute real quickly, Exodus chapter 40, verses 33 through 35. The word says, "And he," that is Moses, "reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So you notice the sequence here. Moses finished it. God's glory entered it. And everybody else had to stand aside. They couldn't go near God. Okay? Does that grasp you? That's not our situation. Let's go on. Let's go over to 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51. Now, this is speaking about Solomon's temple. 51 says, "So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord." That far. And then in 8, one page over, verses 10.